Father, in the receiving of your word, Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say now to the church. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I have the high honor and privilege of coming to you with this message. The title that David gave me is too exciting, and it is, Will Israel Survive, or Can Israel Survive? Now, when you say that, will Israel survive? Sounds like there's a question mark on the end of that, doesn't it? Will Israel survive? Question mark. News at 11. Oh, no, no, no. Will Israel survive is the way we ought to say it. Because it's not a question, it's an exclamation point. Will Israel survive? Oh, my goodness. Israel will do more than survive. And I love, absolutely love what Paul had to say about Israel. Church, get ready. Grab your notes. There's little notepads in front of you in the seat pocket there. Grab this, get some verses down, and be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks of you for the reason, for the hope that lies within you. And to give that answer with respect and with compassion, because we're living in an age, as you'll be hearing later and more this weekend, regarding Israel and its right to exist and its right to the land. Will Israel survive? Absolutely, yes. The Bible says in Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, He will not allow your foot to be moved. That was spoken to Israel. He who keeps Israel will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I love that. The God of Israel will not slumber nor sleep. And you say, Jack, what does that mean to me? I'm not Jewish. I'm not from Israel. Listen, my friends, Christian, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Oh, that's a beautiful sight. Listen. If God does not keep His promises to Israel, He will not keep His promises to you. Think about it. He has made promises to Israel. Israel is a massive, awesome, exciting, incredible, proof positive existence of a nation, of a people, of a culture, that every time you see Israel on the map, my friends, that's why Arab maps, have you ever seen an Arab map? An Arab map does not have Israel on the map. They cannot allow Israel to be on the map. Why? Because every time you see Israel on a map, you need to throw your hands up and get excited, because God is proving to us daily the fulfillment of His word and the faithfulness of our God. He who keeps Israel does not slumber nor sleep. And let me add this, the Lord God who has made you and I great and precious promises does not slumber or sleep either. And we look to Israel as an incredible, awesome testimony of that. So as we look to this, some things we want to keep in mind. Many of you are in touch with Israel. We're in touch with Israel on a very frequent basis. And if you don't know the word on the street in Israel, it is pretty bleak. They feel almost that there's no hope. I got a phone call last week from a dear friend of mine in Israel, and he said, in the newspaper today, there's announcements in the Israeli Jewish newspapers in Jerusalem that many, many, listen, unbelieving, they're Jews, but they don't believe in the scriptures. They, just as Ezekiel said, that God would bring them back into the land in unbelief. Many of them do not believe. But my friend went on to report that the news was reporting that many Jews are having visions and dreams about the Lord's return and that the end is near. And this is in secular newspapers last week in Israel. What's going on? There's a sense of hopelessness among the Jews. They don't see any way out. They believe war is imminent. I believe, by the way, war is imminent as you watch the news and what's taking place. But listen, there is an absolute bleakness and darkness upon the Jew on the street in Israel. And listen, you would feel the same way without Christ if you lived there. Many people feel that way here. But look at their neighborhood. Look at a map surrounded by the most lunatic, freaked out neighbors that this world has ever seen. And they can't agree on anything, but they all agree on the destruction of Israel. Will Israel survive? Oh, yes, it will. Well, number one, jot it down if you would, or if you care, you can look through the screens or you can make note of it. Will Israel survive? Yes, because the God of the Bible says so. That's why. Amen. Thanks for coming. I could leave right there because God says so. Why is that the case? Because He has made a covenant with Israel. I love it. It's a covenant, church, not a contract. You can get a good enough attorney to overthrow a contract, but a covenant is everlasting. A covenant is certain. Genesis 17:7. God keeps His covenant. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, Abraham, and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all of the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Is that not clear enough? Somebody might say, but wait a minute. The Arab population was there before Abraham showed up. There were people there before Joshua showed up. That's exactly true. You want to know why? In God's economy, the flesh always comes before the spirit. Think about it. There's always those occupying the land by occupation. They come in the way of the flesh. After the fall, there were those occupying the land. God says, this is my land. It all comes down to, do you believe the God of the Bible regarding the land of Israel and what He has promised? If you don't believe in the God of the Bible, if you don't believe in the Bible, then you will not believe that Israel has a right to exist in the land. The flesh comes first. That's why you and I must be born again. The flesh comes first, but that's corrupt. It tries to usurp its own authority. It tries to take possession of everything. What does God say? No, the flesh has got to die. And by promise, faith and salvation come. Think about that regarding the Jews. People will say, well, they've only been there since 1948. You know, Osama bin Laden said that on May 14th, 2008, this year. Osama bin Laden said, when will the world wake up? Israel is only acknowledging its 60 years of existence. Can't the world see that we were here first? 60 years. Listen, it's Israel's 60th birthday this year again. For the second time, if you read your Bible, God's covenant is sure and certain. Genesis 28, verse 10 says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went down to Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night. Because the sun had set, he took one of the stones that he had placed under his head and laid down there to go to sleep. Then he dreamed a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and its top reached up into heaven. And there were angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Genesis 28, 18. Then Jacob arose in the morning, listen, took the stone that he had put underneath his head, set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and Jacob called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was previously called Luz. I want you to look at the little photo thing we're going to show you on the screens. This, don't go to the next slide. Church, listen to this. This was actually something that I got from Israel. It was a God-ordained moment because I was cruising around a store and I'm looking at this satellite map because I thought it was awesome. And the little lady at the store, little Jewish lady, she said, listen, why don't you look at Bethel? See Bethel? Why don't you turn the map sideways? And why don't you read it? And she showed me what this says. Now look at this. Just to give you a reference, here's the Dead Sea, Jordan River. So now north is over here as it's indicated. When you rotate it to the left, you see that right there in the mountains of Israel? This has not been doctored up. This is a geosat photograph from a United States government satellite picture of Israel. You see that right here? Next slide. See this here? That's Bethel, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Next slide. See that? You say, well, what's your point? Well, we were in Israel again last month. I saw the same map. In fact, we were down at the Dead Sea, at the Masada National Park. And I was there and I asked the lady that was working behind the counter. This is a different lady. And she's going through all the hubbub of making money and all that. And I said, excuse me, but what does it say on that map? And she's going like this and she doesn't have time to talk to me, this dumb American, you know. And she turned and she looked and she said, I don't know. And I said, well, what if you turn it sideways? I was really playing dumb to put this forth. And she turned it and she said, oh my, it's Yahweh, it's Jehovah. I didn't tell her what it said. She's a Hebrew. She said it. And she said to her coworkers in English, I have goosebumps. I have goosebumps. God has written his name in the land. Jacob was there. He got up in the morning and he says, I'm going to call this Bethel, the house of God. God says in his word, I've written my name in the land. How awesome is that? Also this, the God of the Bible says so. That's why Israel will survive. He has been faithful to bring her back into her own land. Paul mentioned that a moment ago. He has been faithful to bring her back home. Ezekiel 34:13 says, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them out from the nations. And I will bring them back into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and the valleys, and will be inhabited in the countries as well. Amazing. God is so very, very faithful. Ezekiel 37:21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. Did that not happen? Is that not happening even still now? But the Zionist movement, ever since May 14, 1948, Russia, when Reagan said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall, 600,000 Russian-born Jews went home for the first time to Russia. Amen. And it's still going on. He will gather them from the nations of the world. If you're a skeptic today, if someone drug you in here, or they drug you in here, be thinking about this. If you're a skeptic, figure that out. How is it that the God of the Bible says Israel would be dispersed through all the nations of the world and in the last days would come back against all odds into their own land? That would be premature until May 14, 1948. A miracle happened. The Bible says in Isaiah, shall a nation be brought forth in one day? The answer is yes. And it's only about Israel. A dear friend of mine is a commander in the Israeli Air Force, and he said, listen, we don't know how our future is. We don't know what it looks like. But you in America, you're safe and you're protected. You have vast oceans on either side of you. And I told him, I said, listen, there ain't no America in the Bible. I've read your Bible. I know how it ends. I'd rather be in Israel than America any day. You're much safer than America will ever be. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, mark your Bibles. This is one of the greatest verses ever. Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. Who was precious in the sight of God? Who is it? Israel. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not. For I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east. I will gather them from the west. Yes, they'll leave America and go to Israel for the first time to establish their lives. And it's happening now. I will say, I love this. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. I love that last, or the second to the last one. I will say to the north, give them up. Church, in Hebrew, that's a military command. God says, I will say to the north, give them up. Think about it. I mentioned Russia a moment ago. God turned to that great military strength up into the late 80s and said, give them up. Let them go. I believe that God used Reagan and all that was going on. When Gorbachev, he probably thought he was doing a diplomatic thing by tearing down the wall. He was fulfilling, I believe, based upon Isaiah 43, Bible prophecy. Because ever since that time, Russian-born Jews have been coming in. And God said to that nation, give them up as a military command. God has been faithful to bring them. Thirdly, under this point, God of the Bible says Israel will survive because he will keep his word. And all God's people said, amen. Listen, I'm going to need you to participate with me because I may be as white as snow on the outside, but I am as black, I'm telling you, on the inside. I need amens and I need a little Pentecostalism going on because I need that. That's why. So listen, he will keep his word. Deuteronomy 4:31. For the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you. My friend, that promise is given to Israel. Nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. God will not forget. Does Israel believe today that he has forgotten? Yes, they do. Do they believe that they've been abandoned by God? Yes, they do. And they feel like punishing God by not believing in him right now. They do. But you know what? Just like an offended or spoiled child, they're going to come around. Genesis 17:19 says, "Then God said, No, Sarah, your wife shall bear your, no, your, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and his descendants after him." I love it. God has kept his word. He's going to keep his word. And, you know, I don't want to freak anybody out, but, you know, when you see a Jew, you ought to just squeeze them and kiss them. Because a Jew is alive today based upon the faithfulness of God. They might say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, you know what? God believes in you. And God believes in preserving the Jewish nation. It's absolutely awesome to think about. God is faithful. Psalm 105 verse 6 says, O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. God doesn't choose and then unchoose. Paul said it perfectly a moment ago. You remove Israel from the Bible makes no sense. You remove Israel from the Bible and replace it with somebody else or some church or some movement, and it makes no sense. In fact, you create a cult doing that. It's absolutely nuts. If God is not faithful to Israel, we have no hope. Daryl was talking about hope. Without God fulfilling his promises to Israel, we have no hope. He goes on, 105 verse 7, He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. Point number 2 this morning is this. Will Israel survive? Yes, even though the world be gathered against her. You know what? When is the world going to just be quiet and open up their Bibles and read it? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if all world leaders would just open up their Bible and read it? I tell you, they would treat Israel differently, I would hope, I would think. Even though the nations, we learn this, are gathered against Israel. You know, that's prophetic. Every time there's a decision made against Israel, it's prophetic. Now, as Christians, hear me out. As Christians, we need to be registering to vote. We need to vote. We need to get activated. We need to get motivated. And we need to ask our elected officials, or those who want to be elected. I believe there's several things that we had to ask them. Really, just a few. And one of those things that I want, and if I had, a chance to ask a man who was running for president, he didn't make it. He didn't get nominated. But I asked him, what's your view on Israel? You claim to be a Christian. You were once a pastor. What's your view on Israel? And his view on Israel was awesome right on. You say, what's that for? I want to know about the sanctity of life. What do you believe? Because God says, that's dear. That's awesome. God says, you defend the innocent. Listen, how are you going to defend the innocent unless you get involved? Well, I'm going to pray. Pray and then get up. And get moving. And then, well, listen, those who are running for office, I want to know what their voting record has been on Israel. I want to know what they think about Israel. I want to put somebody in power who's for Israel. Pastor, you're getting political. I am not getting political, but I am just getting started. Listen, Israel, you call Washington, or you call McCain's from Arizona. Where's the other guy from? Where's he from? Where? Illinois. Call their offices in their home states. Ask them, what's their voting record on Israel? And then you go, you pray, you vote, and you pray again. Very, very serious. God says, I keep my covenant with them forever. You better be on God's side when you go vote. Don't ask God to be on your side. You get on God's side when you go vote. Also this, the nations will be gathered against it. The United Nations, I hope this little snippet makes it to the UN somehow. The United Nations is the biggest waste of American tax dollars in the history of America. I love what they say in Israel. If you've been to Israel, you've seen the cars go by. These poor soldiers from, they're defending Israel, but they're from Denmark. Okay, they're defending Israel, but they're from France. I don't get it. Rubber bullets or no bullets at all. You've got a blue helmet on. Like, there's the target right there. It's a blue helmet. And on the vehicle, it's white so everybody can see you coming. And it says UN on it. And our friends in Israel will say, do you know what that stands for? Do you know what that stands for? What's it stand for? Unnecessary. And it's true. Listen, it also stands for United Nothing. It does nothing for Israel. Listen, I'll give you this. From 1967 to 1989, the United General Assembly, the United Nations, 429 resolutions against Israel, which were all passed. There have been 321 times where Israel has received condemnation votes from the United Nations. The United States has used its veto power to prevent resolutions concerning Israel from passing through the Security Council on 42 occasions since 1970. The United Nations has been a demonic, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel entity that has been used by the nations of the world. And even right now, this church and other churches have linked up together and we're fighting the UN because of what's going on, where right now 56 nations are asking the United Nations to pass a resolution banning, in 56 nations, evangelism of Christianity because it's offensive to Islam. That is prophetic. The cross, the preaching of the cross, is offensive to those who want nothing to do with it. But now they're trying to make the cross illegal in 56 nations in the United Nations. Absolutely amazing to me. Zechariah 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding nations when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy or a very heavy stone for all peoples or nations. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered against it." Sad to say, America is included in that all nations. All nations, says the Bible, will be against Israel in the last days. Another reason why you need to be careful how you vote come November. What do they think about Israel? Joel chapter 3, again, and I love, Paul, where are you? I loved your message. Thank you. That was awesome. He talked about dividing up the land. We didn't compare notes. God's saying something to us today. Joel 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. "For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem." He's done that. "I will gather all nations." He hasn't done that, but we're seeing it happen. You're watching it if you're staying tuned. "And bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat." This will happen at the end of the tribulation period. I love what he said. We've got our nose pressed against the window as a church looking at the events of the tribulation coming. That was a great picture. And I just gave you another great picture to remember it. "And I will enter into judgment there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they, the nations of the world, have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up," whose land? "My land. And they have cast lots for my people." Oh, the Jews can live over here. They'll live there and live there and live there. Let's divide up the land. Oh, God help us. God help us as a nation. When we send envoys to the Middle East and talk to Israel about dividing up the land, every time that happens, there's an event that takes place. You watch what God does every time. Now, I need to look at the correlation to this week's earthquake right here. I don't know if Chino Hills has done anything wrong lately. But that epicenter was under your feet. And let me tell you, if that happened again today, if you got another 5.4 going on, that was awesome. Let me tell you. If you're not a Christian, that's the moment to have an altar call. Man, I'm telling you. You know, if you're a Christian, you're looking for walls to fall on you because we know where we're going. If you're not a Christian, you are, well, let's just say God's got your attention. God says, "Do not divide up my land." He says, "I'm going to visit those nations with judgment." The world is gathered against Israel. Also, secondly, even though the cults, this is going to sound strange, but hear me out. The cults, the world is gathered against Israel, not only nationally, internationally, but the cults are gathered against Israel. Did you know that? The cults cannot stand Israel. In fact, many cults substitute Israel with themselves. A cult, by the way, is a gathering of those who are centered around a doctrine of teaching that is both aberrant to biblical revelation, and it is most recognizable by its second definition, its denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. Hinduism has no problem with Jesus being one of many. The Jehovah Witnesses have no problem telling you at your doorstep, Jesus was just an angel. Mormons will tell you that he's a man who has attained godhood, and so can you. But by far the most long-running, most successful cult of all time is Islam, which relegates Jesus Christ to a second or third-rate prophet and is nothing more than one of the others. Islam denies the very tenets of Christianity, and it's the fastest growing religion on earth, not by conversion, mind you, but by a 7-to-1 birth rate ratio in the world. Think about it. While the Christian church is aborting their children, and Americans are too hip and too much concerned about their weight to keep that baby or their ambitions, and abortion takes place, the rest of the unbelieving world and the cult type world, they're cranking out babies. They understand it. God said, listen, Satan knows the scriptures. God says, go forth and multiply. Satan says, hey, okay. Think about it. This is very, very serious stuff. All these cults have this in common. There are Christless cults. They have no Messiah. That's why they're all grumpy all the time. They have no Messiah. Number two, listen, all of them are crossless. They have no cross. Drive by a Mormon church. What's on the top of the building? A spike. That's all we'll say right now. It's a spike. By the way, it's related to Islam, and it's spires. Will you see a cross on the top of a watchtower? A kingdom hall? Absolutely not. No cross. They have no cross. They're going all around the world trying to either blow themselves up for salvation, which the Quran teaches they might obtain heaven. There's no guarantee, even if you blow yourself up. What kind of retirement program is that? Are they sincere? They're very sincere. They're sincerely blinded by Satan. The cults deny the deity of Christ, and the cults deny Israel. How convenient. How interesting is that? They deny Israel's existence and deny that Jesus is the Christ. And then listen, hang on to your seats. The world is gathered against Israel, even though the church is gathered against Israel. This just really makes me mad. I'm going to try to control myself right now. There are those who say that they're Christians and that they understand the Bible and they've got all this stuff. But what they wind up doing is taking their little highlighter or their computer program. They remove Israel right out of the Bible and they insert the church. They replace Israel with the church. And listen, they'll do that. God says, don't mess with one word of my book. You take it out or you add to it, you're going to get it. You don't mess with it. And of all things, they tamper with the big deal, Israel. They say, no, no, the promises are ours. Israel forfeited all that. So God, listen, you have a God now who cannot keep his everlasting covenant. You have an impotent, weak God who, in your theology, if you replace Israel with the church, you don't know what to believe. And you're going to make it up as you go along because you don't have a faithful God. Don't mess with Israel. By the way, the way things are going on in the world, we were just there a couple weeks ago. We stood up top Mount Carmel. I believe personally that we're heading towards another Mount Carmel experience. It all comes down to Baal or Allah and Yahweh, Jehovah, God of the Bible. It's all coming down to that match again. Listen, you need to pray that the Lord comes back. If not, you need to be prepared. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. It could happen today. I hope it happens now. But listen, if it doesn't happen now, listen, we need to know what we believe and stand up for what we believe and stop being so silent and so passive while our culture is shifted right out from underneath us, because we are just like Germany before World War II when Hitler said, listen, I'll come in, I'll take care of the church. Hitler said, in 1 year, you give me control of the church, and in 1 year, I'll have those pastors taking their little checks from the government, because that's all they're concerned about, is getting paid by the government. Hitler was a prophet. He was exactly correct. We need to be very, very careful. The church is against Israel. I'm not saying you're against Israel. I'm not saying this church is against it. We love Israel. Okay? But listen to this. There is a lot out there that says that it's of God, and you cannot be of God and be anti-Israel. That's reaching up through the clouds, up through the stars, and slapping God in the face. And you dare not do that. Jesus warned in these last days. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus said to watch out for this, to the church at Smyrna. He says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Who do you think he was talking about? Oh, we're Jews. They were not Jews at all. They're trying to steal the position of God's people. We need to be very careful. Israel is Israel. The church is the church. And listen, God will mix all that up in heaven. Not here, not now. It's very clear. By the way, you'll never understand the book of Daniel. Thank you, Paul. You'll never understand the book of Revelation and the entire Old Testament unless you read the book of Revelation. And tragically, it's the most ignored book in the New Testament. And you'll never understand the Old Testament without the book of Revelation. And you'll never understand the book of Revelation without reading your Old Testament. You can go from Genesis to Malachi and go to Revelation and it will make sense. It's absolutely amazing. Third and final point. Will Israel survive? Oh, yeah. Yes, because Israel's most difficult, let's be honest, Israel's most difficult and most wonderful days are ahead. There's great pain in store for Israel. The Bible prophesies this. I cannot go there, as you probably cannot go there without having your heart tugged when you're meeting people, talking to them. The troubles the Bible speaks about that's coming. The Bible says in Ezekiel 36:19, you always wonder, you know, Jack, what about the Holocaust? Because they'll ask you. The Jew will say, how can you point us to God when He abandoned us and we've been thrown out to all the nations? Listen, do you want to come back to that? Do you want to answer them? Ezekiel 36:19, God says, because of your unbelief, I scattered you among the nations and they were dispersed throughout all the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. That's prophetic. It's in the Bible. God answers it. Why did Israel get sent out to the nations of the world? Because they were disobedient. They didn't obey Him. Why did they wind up in Egypt? Disobedient. They didn't believe Him. Why did Jesus weep as He rode on that pathway on Palm Sunday and He began to weep? Everybody's cheering. Hosanna, Hosanna. Everybody's cheering, laying down their clothes, palm branches, cheering. Woohoo! He's coming! And Jesus is crying. And He said, because you did not know the day of your visitation. Behold, your house has left you desolate. And Jesus prophesied that they would be driven out to the nations of the world. Jesus warned about that in Matthew 24:21. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. For the elect's sake, that's Israel, those days will be shortened. At the end of the tribulation period, Jesus is going to wrap it up by His second coming. Friends, don't ever, ever confuse the rapture with the second coming of Christ. One is an appearance in the atmosphere and we go to meet Him. Big deal. It's a big deal. John 14. Jesus, in fact, you can't have John 14 unless the rapture takes place. See, what's John 14? Jesus says, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, where is that? Will you point to it, please? Point. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. Where did He go? Heaven. That where I am, where is He? Come on, pretend you're in Sunday school. Raise your hand. Some of you are like, you don't know. He's up there. Sunday school kids will go like this. He's here, and half the class will go like this. Both answers are correct. He's in their hearts, and He's up there. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Huh? He says, and I will come again and receive you to myself. That's awesome. Where is He? Listen, He's been up there. Thank you. You great Sunday schoolers, you. He's going to come and pick us up and take us there. And that's how you get the church in Revelation 19 coming with Him in the second coming. You're going to say, how did she get up there? How is the bride? And she's a wonderful bride, the church is. Look at her in Revelation 19. She's got her wedding gown on. By the way, it's not robes in the Bible. It's not robes. The church doesn't get robes. Read your Bible carefully. The tribulation saints get white robes. They lose their head for Christ. The Old Testament saints get robes. Guess what it says about the church? And she was adorned in fine white linen. Absolutely different. Why? She's the bride of Christ. But she's quite a girl. She's on a horse. She's got a gown on. But she's dressed in the armor of God. She's got a veil with a helmet. She's got the sword of the Spirit in one hand and the bouquet in the other hand. She's quite a girl. She's the church. And Revelation 19 says that Those of you who are born again, you're going to be coming with Christ in the second coming, and Jesus puts an end to the battle of Armageddon and establishes his kingdom. More on that in a moment. This time of great peril for Israel is also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for the great day has come, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The Bible says that during that time that Israel has come back into her own land again, there will be great pressures upon Israel. Is there great pressures upon Israel today? Nations will be gathered against it. Are not nations gathered against it? My goodness, wake up and be a believer. Well, I can't believe you Christians are so dumb. You guys are so gullible. Listen, that's not true. When you walk into a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, you need to sharpen your brain. Think logically. Put God to the test regarding prophecy. Read it. Look around. Know your history. God is at work. Don't miss it. It's too wonderful. Great suffering is coming for Israel, but she'll be saved out of it. By the way, for all of us here in the free world, Isaiah 40 verse 1 says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people Israel." We need to comfort them and bless them. God told Abraham, which speaking to us, Genesis 12, to bless those who bless Israel. I'm not saying agree with all of their political positions. God didn't say agree with their political positions. He said bless them. So you bless them. Israel's worst and best days are coming. Number two, there's great prophecies ahead for Israel. I mentioned May 14th, 1948. That's absolutely true. God spoke about that happening. I love the fact that Dr. John Wolverd and Dr. H.A. Ironside, way before Israel was ever a nation, they held their ground. People called them lunatics, but they said, you know what? Israel has got to become a nation again, according to Bible prophecy. And people laughed at them. And they all shut up on May 15th, 1948. The Lord is about to resurrect Israel into its spiritual life. Ezekiel 37:12. "Therefore prophesy and say to them," that's Israel, "thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves," listen, "I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken it. I will perform it, says the Lord." You see how important that is? See how important that is? Look at these pictures of Israel. It's absolutely, God is doing a work. Absolutely wonderful. I don't know how many pictures of those that we have. That's Megiddo in the Valley of Armageddon there. Just absolutely wonderful. God, you can go there. Look at that. In the springtime, you go to Israel in the springtime. The Sea of Galilee, all that God is doing. Absolutely wonderful. What's he doing? He's fulfilling his word. And he'll fulfill his word in your life. What proof do I have? Israel. God keeps his word. You know, this is not in the notes. This verse won't be on the screen. But in the scripture, it says that God told Israel, "Listen, I didn't pick you because you were better than all the other nations. I didn't pick you because you were cuter, smarter, all that stuff. I picked you because you are a stinker." That's my translation. "Because you're stubborn. Because you're difficult." You guys, if you have Jewish friends, I have Jewish friends both here and in Israel. They're wonderful people, but just forget about arguing with them. Just forget it. Even if you win, they won't let you feel like you won. You can't win. And if you talk with them, you may be talking with one Jew back and forth to each other, and from the Jewish friend you have, he'll have three different opinions about what he believes. It's like, how does this happen? God says, "Listen, if I can save a Jew, I can save anybody." And that's almost how he says it. If I can save a Jew, I can save anybody. God is committed to the Jewish people. Israel will do more than survive. Also this, and finally this. Israel's worst and best days are ahead. There's great plans for Israel. I love reading Jeremiah, but I really love reading Isaiah when it says, "in that day." You got to take a pen when you read the book of Isaiah and circle how many times "in that day" appears. In that day, the deserts will bloom. Those of you who are gardening maniacs, botanists, landscapers, When God says, when I come back, the deserts will bloom, right? He says that. Okay, those of us in Southern California, we appreciate that. At least we should. You want to know why? Because how can the deserts bloom when he comes back? Well, he can do anything he wants. Yes, but he does things kind of cool sometimes. Where it's like, I didn't know that. A cactus, the needle on a cactus is an underdeveloped blossom. So all of a sudden, no one breaks their neck to run down to Lowe's or Home Depot to buy a cactus. Hey, let's decorate our yard with cacti. You don't want to do that unless they're blooming the way God's going to cause the deserts to bloom. People, you're going to want to get out of this place in the millennium when Christ returns and get to the Mojave Desert and watch it bloom. Can you imagine the desert? That's going to happen when the Lord comes back. I'll talk about that more in a second as we wrap this up. God's got great plans for Israel. He's going to do a tremendous thing. Israel's soon to see what you and I have been allowed to know. Israel will be allowed to see what you and I have been allowed to know. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make, listen, a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob. Verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Church, listen carefully. If you're Jewish, listen carefully. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. What covenant is he talking about? Anybody know? Which one did they break? They took, exactly, the Mosaic covenant. They had the Ten Commandments. God made a covenant with them. They broke them. Are you with me? God says, I'm going to be done with that. I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make a new one. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with them, with the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law, listen, he's talking about the born again experience. I will put my law in their minds, I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the new covenant. The Jew will come to Christ. Come to Messiah. Jeremiah 50, verse 5. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it. This is during the millennium. Saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. I got to go fast. I don't know what time I'm supposed to stand. I forget. Now, probably. Huh? Okay, I can go. Get ready. Here we go. Jesus Christ, number one. God's got plans for Israel. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, must sit upon the throne of David. Jesus has to sit upon the throne of David. He has to. He's not sitting upon the throne of David now. See, well, where do you get that idea from? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's the Christmas verse. Come on. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, justice, from that time forward, even forever, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus Christ must come back to Jerusalem in Israel and sit upon the throne of David. Right now, he's not sitting upon the throne of David. Also this, Jerusalem shall be a place of joy and safety in the millennium when Christ returns. Zechariah 9:3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Isn't that awesome? I will return to Zion. I will dwell in Jerusalem. How's he going to do that? Jesus is going to do that. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. When will that be? That will be during the millennium when the mortals, I'll just call them mortals, those who have lived into the millennium, those who have come through the tribulation period, having survived, they will be judged at Matthew chapter 25 judgment when Jesus sits and judges the nations and separates them as the shepherd separates what? The sheep from the goats. And those who are the sheep, it's not the church, those who are the sheep enter into the millennial kingdom age. And they, the Bible tells us, will repopulate the earth. Isaiah says a man at 100 years of age will be like a kid. Longevity will increase. It's going to be awesome. You and I will be the bride of Christ. We will not be subject to age. We will not be subject to death. That will be done. What a great time that will be. Okay, this next verse. This is all for you tree-hugging, whale-watching, non-dolphin-eating. Hey, I was attacked by a dolphin in Bahamas. I think you should buy all the tuna you can that's not dolphin-safe. Anyway, be careful about dolphins. They're scary. They got that smile on their face, but they'll get you. I'm here to tell you. They smile like, this guy thinks I'm not going to attack him. You environmentalists, you want the environment to be fixed? Okay, Al Gore does not have the answer. Al Gore's making money. Jesus, you want the environment fixed? Pray that Jesus returns. He made it. He knows how to fix it. The environment's going to be blessed. Listen to this. I can't wait to see this. Isaiah 55:12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing before you. I don't know how that's going to sound, but it will be awesome. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. You ever been under a tree when the wind blows and all those leaves slapping together? Instead of the thorn shall come up cypress trees, and instead of a briar there shall come up a myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. From the second coming of Jesus Christ to the end of the millennium, salvation will come out of Jerusalem. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I will keep you and make you to the covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49:6. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. When is that going to happen? It begins in the tribulation, but it culminates in the millennium. Isaiah 51:4. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. That's the Gentiles. So listen, if you're Jewish today and you're listening or you're here, I'm asking you to consider this. And I'm ending. Who are we talking about? In all these things, God is faithful to keep His word. And in His word, from Genesis to Revelation, in fact, look at this. In your Bible, this is the creation of all that there is and the fall right here. You see that? This is God buying it back with His blood, telling us that He loves us and that He's got a plan. Amazing. Don't tell me God doesn't love you. You are of such worth, you can't even begin to imagine that God would come from heaven. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a good guy. All the ladies know there are no good guys. He came Himself to die on the cross for us. So if you're Jewish today, I want you to hear this. Who do you think He's talking about? The God of the Old Testament. Psalm 22:18-16. David said, they prophesied, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. When did that happen in history? I'm just asking. Jesus made mention of this. David speaks of this. For the dogs have surrounded me. If you're Jewish, do you know what he's talking about? Dogs? Gentiles. The Gentiles have surrounded me. Who surrounded Jesus at the cross? The Roman Empire surrounded Jesus at the cross. They've surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed upon me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Written 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, David prophesied Psalm 22. What about Zechariah 12, verse 9? It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that have come against Jerusalem. We need to put that on the front door of the White House and Congress. And we need to mail that to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, whatever his name is. I will destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Listen, then they will look upon me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And listen to this final verse. We're done. What do you think was meant when Solomon, Agur in the book of Proverbs, but it's Solomon. He's going by an assumed name. Puts a different name on there. Solomon speaking. Proverbs 30, verse 4. I've shared this verse with some of you before in the past. It's one of my favorite verses. Who do you think Solomon was talking about? I shared this with a man on a bus in Israel, and his yarmulke about flew off his head. I'm serious. He flipped out. I'll read it to you. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Last verse of the day for me anyway. Who has ascended into heaven? Who has descended? It's the Lord. Who has gathered the wind in his fist? That's the Lord. Who has bound the waters in his garments? That's the Lord. Who has established the ends of the earth? It's the Lord. What's his name? Lord. What is his son's name, if you can say? Yeah. That's awesome. Proverbs 30, verse 4 says, what's his name? And what is the name of his son, if you know? You guys, will Israel survive? Is that a trick question? Listen, my concern is, will America survive? Father, we thank you for your truth, for it is light and life to us. We thank you, God, and thank you, Lord, that he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And Lord, we thank you for us who have been grafted in, that you, Lord, according to your promises, will neither slumber nor sleep for us as we await your coming, as you have promised. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
My goodness.